Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 to 13. I'd like to read for you. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will be ceased. If there is a knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with the childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God. Today's title is the part four, the faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. I believe that over the past 3 hours, as we reflect on the definition of love and examine the seven things we should do and the eight things we should avoid as those saved by God's love, we must first look inward, repent, and pray in our heart to practice the love that pleases our fathers. Amen. Today, I wish to conclude our discussion on love through the passage itself. I have previously explained the background behind Apostle Paul's words in today's passage. As we seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 to 30, God loved the Corinthian church deeply and bestowed many gifts upon them. God's purpose in giving this gift was to help build up the church and edify one another. However, the church became divided because the members sought to exalt themselves, boasting about receiving greater gift from God rather than giving glory to Him. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to correct this. Above all, though he gave various kinds of gifts, the purpose was to grant unity to the church and the saints in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul likened the gift to the members of our body, and the purpose these various members was to form the body of God with Jesus as the head. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 28, I let it read for you. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then the miracle, then gift of healings, health, administration, various kinds of tongue. But when liking the days of the judges, each person asserted their own gift according to their own judgment, and the church showed no unity. God commanded them to desire great gift than the ones they had received, and the greater gift was love. So is Apostle Paul talked to the Corinthian church, according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, but honestly desire the greater gift, and I show you a still more excellent way. He taught that the most excellent way is for the church to be united through love by desiring love, the greater gift above the individual gift each has received. That is correct. The greatest gift is to receive God's love. That love of God has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. According to the First John chapter 4, verse 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Amen. God's love is not abstract but concrete like this. God's love is first and sacrificial. The Bible specifically tells us what kind of love we have received from God. According to the Romans chapter 8, verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Right? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And I give you another one. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. I'd like to read for you. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we are reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It declares that God loved us so much that He gave up the life of His only Son, Jesus, for our lives. And He did this when we were still sinners, when we were enemy of God. He gave up the life of His Son, Jesus, for you and me. The Bible calls this unconditional love the beyond our comprehension, God's first love. Let's look at the 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Scripture said, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiations for our sins. Hallelujah. What is the state of the church today? It is no different from the Christian church. The content may vary, but they are busy boasting about how highly valued they are by God, how they have greater blessings than others, putting their wives, honor, and children at the forefront. They even tear others down to make themselves look good and reveal God's work in them. God clearly speaks. He asks us to prove that we are truly loved by Him. This is not about the personal pride, but about loving our neighbors and brothers. Let's look at the First John chapter 4, verse 11. Scripture said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. At the end, the Lord will not ask us, how much did you receive God's love? But how much did you love your brothers with the love you received? The Bible declares that if we love one another, God dwells in us and His love is perfect in us. According to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Amen. Today's passage states that the gift, like a prophecy, tongue, and knowledge will all pass away. This word merely means used to reveal Jesus' salvation and God's living presence. But the passage declared that at the Lord's final return, all such things will cease. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 to 10. The Apostle Paul talked to us. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. There are merely tools and the process necessary for believing in and knowing Jesus Christ. We must grow in our faith to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may escape the childish faith within the church that is tossed about by human deceit and worldly trends. We must live in love in all things for the completion of our salvation, and with love become one in heart to fulfill God's will. Amen. Let's look at the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. I'd like to read for you. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrines, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are grew up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fit and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Amen. At such a time, so He spoke of the day when we would come to know God completely. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Apostle Paul told us, "For now we see in mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known." This means the time is coming when, with the help of Jesus' Spirit, we will be transformed into the Lord's image, attaining greater glory, the Father's glory. According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with the unveiled face, the beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Amen. Then the Apostle John also spoke of this saying in the 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, second coming Jesus Christ, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is." Amen. Just as when we did not know God or heavens, Jesus spoke to us through parables. But for those who understand what heaven is through these parables, no further parables are needed. Let's go look at the John chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. That Jesus talked to disciples, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language." There is a parable. "An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative image, but will tell you plainly of the Father." This means that although Jesus is God, the Father who appeared before us in the flesh, He spoke in parables to those who did not yet understand this. But for those who believe and understand that the Lord is God, the time will come when He speaks clearly and definitely as one speaks face to face. To fulfill this, there are gifts we must receive and hold on to until the end, faith, hope, and love. Among these, he declares that love is the foremost, the greatest. One more time, I read for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 13. But now abide faith, hope, love, these threes, but the greatest of this is love. This gift is the posture of faith that the saint must maintain on earth until we are made perfect here, until we meet the Father. Let's look at the first Thessalonians chapter 1, 3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith. Mind your work of faith and the level of love and the steadfastness of hope. You can see the faith, love, and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God the Father. These three things lead us to the Father. Through faith, which God has given as a gift of grace, we believe in the unseen God, believe in heaven, and firmly assure our heart that we will surely meet God in heavens. That is what faith is. Without faith, we cannot possess Jesus, God, or heaven. In this way, faith becomes the starting point of our salvation. Upon this faith, God has given us hope. Though we believe, we still wait for the eternal and God's kingdom on this earth. This hope given by God keeps our lives focused not on the earth and the flesh, but on heavens and the spirit. Without this hope, we cannot preserve our faith in this world of sin and death where Satan holds away. Love is the divine character we must ultimately embody. God's love transforms us into the image of His glory. In the new heavens and the new earth, everything between God the Father and the saint will be united in love. Amen. When the Lord returns, all that is unseen will finally be revealed to our spiritual eyes, and our faith will be perfected. Moreover, all we hope for and desire will be fulfilled and become our possession. Now, finally, possessing the Father's character, we become one with God the Father, completing His love for us. We have to be finally possessing the Father's glory. Dwelling in that eternal love is precisely what heaven is. Beloved saints, here we must clearly define the goal of our faith. Is your faith and hope centered on receiving blessing from God in this visible world, living without wreck, eating and drinking well, staying healthy, and then going to heaven? With such faith and hope, you cannot reach the love the Father desires. This is because our faith remains trapped within ourselves. Our faith and hope must not be confined to this earth. Our faith and hope must transcend this earth, transcend this time, and look toward and long for the eternal world. Our faith must transform from seeking blessing and joy on this earth to seeking first His kingdom and righteousness. My image must be changed into the image and likeness of God the Father. The way is only by following Jesus Christ, taking up each one's cross. You can see that Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and the Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and the sharing in Jesus' sufferings. You can find that alone chapter 8, verse 17. Receiving the Spirit of Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, we must diligently love our brothers and sisters. By proclaiming the word, which is the essence of love, we must take the lead in enabling those who have not yet experienced the Father's love to indirectly experience it through us, because one with the Father's love through the world. For this purpose, He gave us the church, and He gave it the name Love First. May the focus of our entire lives be fixed on love first. May your life of self-sacrifice and serving first continue daily. Armed with the word and the prayer, may we all become those who hear the voice of our Father God calling us, God and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for revealing to us the very essence of your love. Until now, we understood the love as vague, abstract, and self-centered. But through this message, we thank you for all helping us realize anew that love is Father God Himself. We have seen the useless on this. We become love. We cannot love our brothers and sisters, nor can we be transformed into the Father's image in the last days. May our lives begin to follow the Lord, imitating the love Jesus gave us through love, starting even by merely attempting to mimic the Lord's love, so that we may take the first and true steps of love toward the true Father's. We cannot do this by our own strength, power, or will. Have mercy on us, show us grace, and make us people who live words, actions, and live that align with the Father's will. Take away all our desire for this world, as your word says, and transform us into those who live in righteousness and truth, following Jesus alone. May we all truly become those who live accordingly to your kingdom, righteousness, and will. May love first become the guiding principle of our love, our lives, as we have understood today's word. In all these prayer and request, we honestly pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who is love itself, transforming us with the Father's love. Amen.